From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar, reporting from Pershing Square in downtown Los Angeles, where thousands of climate activists, including school kids, are taking the day off from school and work to strike for the climate. Around the United States and the world, climate strikers in thousands of cities are demanding action on climate change from their political leaders. And today, we're going to be bringing you some of the voices from the global climate strike as part of our series Rising Up in the Streets.
Ina kwata inya na na heyano 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 heyano.
So I'm here in Pershing Square, and just a few minutes ago, my guest was on stage opening the whole program with a chant, as now has become our tradition in many protest actions around the country, with indigenous communities welcoming everybody and blessing the earth. Can you tell me your name and your affiliation and why you're here today?
My name is Hotspa. I am Kumeyaay and Chichimeca descent. I am with the International Indigenous Youth Council.
So you look pretty young. Can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 21 years old.
All right. And tell me a little bit about what you did on stage today.
Today I was bringing awareness to environmental issues of indigenous people and all people.
And tell me a little bit about the chant you did.
The chant I was singing was a water song. It's a traditional song that we sing to honor water, because all beings, all life forms are made up of water, whether you're a two-legged being, four-legged being, all animals, all life forms have water in them, you know? Because human beings are 80% water, you know? So it's like, we're paying that homage, we're paying that respect, we're singing to the water, we're praying to it.
Why is this issue of water such an important one when we're talking about the climate?
Because there are communities, there are indigenous communities that don't have access to clean water, and we're struggling with our water rights, and we're trying to protect it, to keep clean water going through all of our communities.
I'm thinking of the refrain that became very popular around the Standing Rock protests, water is life. And I think the rest of non-indigenous Americans have learned that phrase. Is that a central theme for you as well?
Yes, of course.
And are you hopeful today? As a 21-year-old, you are someone whose future is directly threatened by the current situation we're in.
Yes. I feel like this is important because people are coming together regardless of your background, religion. Everyone's seeing and understanding that this is important. This is something that can affect the next 7 generations, you know?
And finally, do you think that the wisdom of indigenous communities that holds the key to how we live sustainably with the earth is going to be translated into actual policies? Is this one of your goals?
Yes. We've known how to live with our earth in a balanced way without causing too much damage or pollution for thousands of years. It wasn't until 500 years ago where everything started to change. So I feel if we bring our old ways back and we teach them to the people today, because we've been living here, and these have been our ancestral lands for, you know, Creator knows how long, but we've always known how to work with the land and not domesticate it, but work with it side by side.
So I'm Peter Kalmus. I'm a climate scientist, an activist, and an author. And I'm here because this is the most important issue facing humanity right now. I'm also here for my kids because they're 11 and 13 and they've been climate striking since December of 2018.
So you're a climate scientist. What area of research do you work in?
I work on cloud physics and more recently ecological forecasting too. So I'm studying the futures of coral reefs.
Oh, wow. And
yeah, it's pretty grim.
So you, I imagine, have been sounding the alarm for a lot longer than the majority of the American public?
13 years. I've been being ignored for 13 years. And what's happening with this rise in grassroots activism has, over the last year, it's been the most amazing thing for me. I feel so much more optimism than I have over that 13 years.
So there are what seems to be thousands of people here today, a lot of kids too. You said your kids have been striking for months now?
Yeah, since December of 2018. And this is just the beginning. People should realize we got to keep doing this. There will be more strikes like this. We can do it every Friday. Anyone can strike, adults, kids. Just keep it going. Keep building this public urgency, because that's going to lead to the massive global mobilization that we desperately need.
So the Swedish activist Greta Thunberg said to Congress this week that that members of the Senate need to trust the science, need to trust the scientists, need to listen to the scientists. That's what your science is. So is there any other issue behind which scientists have this much consensus than climate change these days?
Maybe gravity? the public doesn't realize that the scientific consensus is nearly 100%. There's a few cranks out there. They write some papers which have been shown, there's a very small amount of them, and their papers have been shown to be wrong. So the scientific consensus on dangerous man-made climate change is as strong as it's possible to get.
Some scientists have for years sort of decided that they were just put the information out there and it was up to the rest of us to become active. Now I'm seeing more and more scientists like yourself becoming activists. Is that a growing trend?
Yeah, because we're freaking out, and because just saying the science has, we've been doing that for 30 years and it hasn't worked. And we're freaking out because these trends keep going up and up and up. The temperatures, the ocean heat, storms are getting worse, wildfires are getting worse. All these, this is not the new normal. This will keep getting worse as long as CO2 keeps increasing in the atmosphere. So as long as we let this go, it will keep getting worse. It's not a binary on or off thing. So we desperately need massive, rapid action.
And so for members of Congress who think that they are taking action by saying we need to study the issue further, what do you say?
The consensus is nearly 100%. We know what we need to know, and we're not doing it.
So we don't really need more studies.
We do not. Yeah, we don't need more studies to realize that we have to decrease our fossil fuel emissions and increase afforestation as quickly as possible. That's what the science says. Forget about 2 degrees. Forget about, 10 years and 2 months or 12 years. We need to decarbonize as quickly as possible. The science on that is completely airtight and unequivocal. There's still some science left to do to know exactly how we need to adapt, exactly how ecosystems are going to die and fall. But those are basically details. The bottom line is we need to decarbonize and transition to a carbon-free civilization as quickly as possible.
Okay. My name is Landon Ramirez. I'm 15 years old, and my role is one of the organizers and co-founders of Youth Climate Strike LA.
Landon Ramirez, you said? And you're 15 years old? So have you been one of the main people organizing this incredible event?
Yes, I have. It's been quite a roller coaster.
Is this the first time you've done this sort of thing, or are you an activist?
I am an activist, so I've been doing this ever since March 15th.
March 15th of this year, you've been one of the weekly climate strikers?
Yep.
Where do you go to school?
I go to school in Acton Academy, Venice Beach.
Why is this so important to you, that you would do the amount of work that it takes to put on something like this?
This is so important to me because if nobody else organizes to fight against climate change, politicians, CEOs, and the big corporations perpetuating this mess aren't going to do their job. I'm a child, but the adults are acting childish here. I have to pick up their slack because nobody's going to defend my future if I don't.
Do you worry about climate change?
Yes, that's the whole reason why I organize. I don't organize because this is necessarily my passion or it brings me intense joy. I organize because, if I don't, nobody else will, and my future will be screwed.
What do you think will happen? What's the worst case scenario?
The worst case scenario is the majority of human population becomes extinct by 2100, including me and my family. So that's the worst case scenario.
How do you talk about this issue with your classmates and teachers?
I talk about it, I make it come from a place of hope and optimism to get them engaged in the conversation. I don't say, hey, we're gonna die, you need to do this. I say, hey, these are the issues, this is what we can do, now help me fight against climate change.
Tell me about the weekly strikes. How many of you come out? Where do you go? What do you, are you holding signs? Describe it.
So yeah, we lead a march through downtown Los Angeles, and only not that many of us come, maybe 100 of us every week.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. And we lead a march through downtown LA, and we go to City Hall.
And so every Friday since March, you've been doing this?
Almost. We do it the second Friday of every month.
Okay. And have you managed to see the numbers of your classmates grow joining you?
Yeah, I actually have like 2 people coming from my school today. There are 100 people coming from my old school. There are 200 people coming from Santa Monica High School. I'm so grateful that my friends are supporting me in this. and that they are acknowledging how severe the climate crisis is.
And are you happy with the turnout today, especially with the turnout of adults?
Yeah, I'm so happy that the adults are here to support us, because usually they're the people who have access to these type of events. So it's just great to see that the people with power and the people that are older than us are here to back our voices and to give us a platform. It's so amazing.
What is your message finally to the grown-ups of the world? I'm assuming you'll echo something that you might be saying on the stage, because you're also one of the speakers today.
My message for the grown-ups is to please grow up and do your job. I am supposed to be taking a test right now, and I'm gonna fail it. But at the end of the day, this climate crisis is more important for me, and it needs to be addressed by somebody. And if y'all aren't gonna do it, I have to, and it's gonna negatively impact my future. So please become the adults and actually pick up the slack.
Thank you so much, Landon.
Thank you so much.
Yes, my name is Paola Khan. I'm a digital organizer for SoCal 350. And today I'm here to promote the Last Chance Alliance's demands to Governor Newsom.
Which are?
So it's a stop, drop, and roll, because our planet is on fire. We're demanding that Governor Newsom take executive action to stop issuing new oil drilling permits, because since he took office, oil drilling permits have doubled. We're demanding that he drop existing oil production, which includes a ban on importing crude from the Ecuadorian Amazon, because the Amazon rainforest is on fire and California is playing a role in the destruction of the Amazon. And we're demanding that he roll out a 2,500-foot safety and health buffer zone between frontline communities and oil drilling sites, because communities of color and low-income communities are disproportionately contracting respiratory diseases and cancer because of the proximity to refineries and oil drilling sites. And that's taking our family members from us.
For our radio audience, can you describe your outfit today? Is that part of your protest?
Yes, I think today, if we think about our ancestors and how they've engaged in the battle, some take on the spirits of animals, and some paint themselves and embody the spirits of the animals that out on the battlefield.
So you are wearing wings on your back and a leopard print and a hat.
Yes. My mother's people are from Guatemala, and so we're mixed. We do have Mayan and European blood, and right now I'm channeling the Hawat and feline energy as well as the bird energy.
Speaking of birds, we've just heard this week that 3 billion birds are not flying over North America, the U.S. and Canada. Since 1970, we have 3 billion fewer birds. There's a lot of course, people talking about the impact on humanity, but there's an impact on so many other species as well, right? It's not just human beings that will perish if we don't take action.
Yes, we're truly living through a mass extinction, and to prevent further mass extinction, we need to protect each other. We need to radically change our behaviors, our habits, and perhaps consider going back to living in circumstances that our ancestors lived under that were more sustainable.
So more harmonious with nature?
More harmonious with nature, less longer distance travel, and using electricity less, and rethinking water sources.
So today's event is a youth climate strike. Young people, students have been striking to demand climate action every Friday around the world. This event was led by youth organizers. You're not much older than most of the young kids yourself. How excited are you by seeing this energy among young people?
I'm excited because we're taking action on a global scale. I've heard about international strikes that happened in the earlier 20th century or that happened in the later 1800s. And then I just realized today or yesterday, I was like, oh my gosh, I've been working on organizing a global strike. It's actually happening. And when I was organizing in MacArthur Park, which is a predominantly Central American neighborhood, some folks were telling me, well, we need a strike for housing rights. We need a rent control strike. And I do a lot of migrant justice organizing too, and there's been a lot of activity to shut down the concentration camps, and I think this is the beginning of a series of global strikes. We're gonna have so many much more global strikes coming up. We're gonna shut it down because we can't survive.
Do you see the climate catastrophe and climate crisis as linked to some of these broader issues around housing, around migrant rights?
Absolutely. There is a global trend of forced migration and displacement that we see from the most rural indigenous communities around the world to our urban centers. We see ongoing colonialism in the forms of narco governments that are funded with our own taxpayer dollars. So literally our taxpayer dollars are funding the same narco governments that pay poor people that are funneled into cartels to attack indigenous communities to make way for mega projects to take those resources from resource-rich indigenous communities. Also, indigenous territories are ground zero and on the front lines of climate change and extreme weather events. So all of this compounded forces migration up north to the militarized border, again, which is creating this whole system of profit for the government and all affiliated corporations that are profiting from the mega projects and from the mass incarceration of climate refugees, environmental indigenous activists.
Capitalism seems to be a common theme.
Yeah, all of that, making money.
Thank you so much and good luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali.
Yes, my name is Jesus Villalba Gastelum, and I'm from Mexico. I'm from a little town called Badiraguato. I'm 16 years old and we're striking for the climate.
And so you're a high school student?
Yes, I'm in my senior year.
Where do you go to school?
I go to Southeast High School in Southeast LA.
And so you're one of the main organizers of today's event. Congratulations, are you happy with the turnout?
We're more than happy. We're actually kind of starting to get worried. We're three blocks down and we reserved one block. So we're very, 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 very excited.
So you were expecting one block to fill up. You have filled up three blocks filled with people.
Yeah. This block should fill like 3,000 and we're... So
there are thousands and thousands of people here today.
Yes.
Care to have an estimate?
We don't even know yet. I haven't even seen everyone. I've been here the whole time and I can't even move around. My mom's here and I'm like, I'm mal on this stuff. So we're just figuring it out. But
so your mother's here, so she supports your activism?
At first, she told me, the first strike, she told me, ay, Jesus, like, I wasn't going to go, and I didn't want to tell you no, because I thought no one was going to show, so I didn't have to tell you. And then here she is today, so you'll see who was right and who was wrong.
Why is this such an important issue to you?
Yeah, so I'm an immigrant, if you can't tell by my beautiful complexion. My town was hit by a drought in the early 90s. I wasn't alive at that time, but it caused a lot of havoc, and a lot of my family left to the United States. And so I understand that migration is a very important part of the situation right now, where we need to survive, and we need to come to the United States, we need to come to these other countries, because there's no other way to live.
And are you happy with how seriously other young people are taking this issue right now?
I think it's beautiful that so many youth are here. I think like 5 months back, I thought I was the only one that cared until we finally got people up, because there are so many people that want to help and that want to join, they just don't know how. So for example, when I started this up, I was looking at where to sign up and there was nowhere to sign up. So we got together with four other organizers and we put it together. And then I think 1,000 people signed up before for the first strike, so.
Wow, okay, so there was a time when environmental issues were seen as of concern to privileged, white, wealthy people. That seems to have changed.
Yeah, it's because a lot of the green movement before this was a lot of white people saying only go vegan. And I understand going vegan is something that we have to do, but it's also a privilege that very few people can afford. A lot of our peoples have been living off the land and eating meat for thousands of years, and we haven't gotten to this problem until now. So there's definitely a way that we're doing things that is wrong, but we also need to keep in mind the people that we're fighting for.
We need a better framing of the issues.
Exactly, because right now, there's a lot, of course, I love white people, they're our allies, but a lot of the times they're saying, we have 10 years, we have 20 years, and I'm saying, no, people are dying today, people are dying now, that's why we need to act.
Thank you so much, Jesus, good luck today.
Yeah, of course, thank you so much, I'm so excited, I hope you guys see you around.
I'm here with actor Don Cheadle. What are you doing here at the climate strike in Pershing Square?
Well, I'm here to support the young people who have determined, rightfully so, that this issue is the issue of our times, and that we need to all come together around this. And it's great to see all of the diversity here and all of the people that have, you know, are combining their efforts to attempt to make their voices heard. And we see these strikes happening all over the world, clearly because this issue is the hot button issue, not to to be glib, but it's absolutely what we need to be focused on. And we don't hear enough of it coming from our leaders. We don't hear enough of it coming from debate stages. We clearly don't hear enough of it coming from the administration that we have right now. They don't even believe it's real. So we have to try to, you know, pull on the levers wherever they exist and try to raise the din and make our voices heard.
Do you think that actions like this can make a difference?
I think that these are the collective actions that we need to continue to do over and over and over again. It's not just a one-off proposition. Absolutely, it's something that has to be a continuing effort. And again, something that has to be handed to the people who are going to inherit this issue that has been created by generations before them. So it's heartening to see that the youth are so engaged and to see that they are so educated and knowledgeable about what they're doing and how they're doing it and not waiting for permission and just pushing on doors. And yeah, I believe that we can see a change happen.
And finally, do you think that this is something that politicians are going to have to be put on notice about, because we have so many issues we're dealing with right now? We've got the migrant crisis, you know, we've got pollution issues, we've got education. In all of that, the issue of climate change tends to get lost.
Which is amazing, because none of those other issues come into play if there's no planet, if there's nothing here to fight for. So I think people are going to have to really, you know, take a hard look at, you know, commerce and production, and if capitalism can go unchecked and the free marketplace has to run everything and everything else has to take a backseat to making money, then yeah, this is what we're going to be looking at in the future. So yes, they have to be put on notice. These kids are the ones who are going to inherit that. These children are the ones who supposedly this world is being protected for, and all of these other issues that you mentioned are supposed to be put in place to take care of them. So we have to listen to them now and actually shift our focus to the issues that they think are important, because they know what they're talking about, and they're leading on this. So yes, I'm just here to support them and hopefully shine the light where it needs to go and give them their due, and hopefully people will be putting mics in front of them and saying, talk to us, like Greta Thunberg, and just really.
We certainly have. We've talked to several 16-year-olds today.
Yeah.
And 9-year-olds.
Yeah, they'll let you know. That's who I want to see on the debate stage, you know. Bring a 7-year-old up. Bring a 12-year-old up. Bring a 19-year-old up. I wish one of these candidates would just yield their time and say, ask them questions, because that's who's the focus, that's who's the spotlight, that's who it's all for. And if we're not out here fighting for them, then what's the point?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And that's a special report for our series, Rising Up in the Streets, featuring participants from the historic global climate strike from Pershing Square in downtown Los Angeles, part of a massive strike taking place in cities around the U.S. and the world. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.